Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Mark Davis. He's a physician. Also, he's an author of The Demons of Democracy. If you'd like to speak with him, you feel free to call in at 347-324-3460, or you can post a question in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and read it on the air. Dr. Davis, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. The audience like to hear kind of a personal view on the author who writes the book. So if you don't mind sharing this for a few moments.
I'm
about
a native New Yorker. I grew up there. I went to medical school in Syracuse. I was working on an MD and a PhD at the time. I came to Maryland. I made a wrong turn on Route 95, and I stopped in Maryland. And I've been living here for 30 years, and I've been a lobbyist here in Maryland for about nine and a half years. I stopped for a while and going back to it. For healthcare purposes, I owned and operated health facilities with groups of doctors. I've practiced internal medicine. I've interacted with dozens of politicians, hundreds of lawyers, and that's where the book was generated, from these interactions that I have, both on the government level and on the personal level. The Demons of Democracy, it was written about, released about 9-10 months ago, and it's done well, thankfully, to people, word of mouth. It gets around. We're not part of the bigger publishing structure, so radio, we really appreciate being on shows like this, and we can get our word out.
Wow. So kind of tell us what inspired you to write the book.
Well, I watched the government as a whole, because I'm a journalist also. I write many articles. I've written several hundred articles in the last 2 years about every aspect of politics and healthcare, and I've seen things going in ways that the main media is not covering, even though they're trying to do it in a competent fashion. They just don't see things as we do here, let's say at the ground level. And one thing that I did see is how lawyers have undermined every institution and tradition in the country. And I state that in terms of factual basis in the book. Every contract that's made in a union setting is done with lawyers. Every international trade agreement is done by lawyers. Remember, I'm sure people remember the Madoff scandal. The Securities Exchange Commission was basically run by lawyers. They were investigating him and dropped it. Six times the investigations were dropped. It's in the book. We see lawyers as a necessary part of what the government structure is all about, but we have too many lawyers, too many laws, too many intricacies that criminalize normal human behavior, and I wrote that into the book. The book itself talks about the legal profession and legislators who enable lawyers to do what they do, and they control main parts of the country. Now, allow me to elaborate a little bit. With Obamacare,
sure.
as it was coined the name, I didn't name it Obamacare. People are resentful of that name, but nevertheless, it's written end-to-end by lawyers. The core bill is 900 pages. With the extensions, it goes over 2,000 pages. I read the main part because I'm working on a book on the Obamacare, more of a monograph, so people understand what is involved. Hopefully the Supreme Court will torch it, but nevertheless, lawyers wrote it. And if you read it, you see it's written by lawyers. It's completely written to confound anybody who reads it, unless you have a legal education, have a little bit of a medical education as well. And I see lawyers as a great detriment to this country, and we need less of them, and that's why I'm on this show, and that's why I wrote the book, to get the word out. We need to pare down what the lawyers can do. If I could elaborate more, in other countries, lawyers do not do what we do here. They don't do, for example, in England, inheritance is done by administrative assistants. Divorces may be done by people in the courthouse that are not lawyers. Basic legal transactions in many countries are done by administrative types in the government at a dollar or two on the hundred that the lawyers charge here. So we have a major problem.
Wow. So when you wrote the book, is it taken to the perspective of the healthcare industry, or is this taken actually talking about all the things that's going wrong with our democracy?
This is an excellent question.
Okay.
It's an excellent question. No, not only from the point of healthcare, it's a point of just being a citizen and seeing how the detriment of the legal profession has been inflicted on the populace itself. We discuss prosecutorial misconduct. We talk about junk science in the courtroom. We talk about legislative dysfunction. A very interesting chapter in the book, Chapter 6 is Sexploitation 101, talks about all the liaisons congressmen have had since Johnson's time. It's very interesting stuff. False class action suits have been filed over the many years. I give many examples of that. The politician lawyer. It used to be about 60-70% of people in the House and Senate were lawyers. Now it's pared down to less than 40%. We discuss criminalizing normal human behaviors, and then there's a lot of that. And then pro se, if you're a pro se means somebody who goes before the court without an attorney. It means for himself in Latin. They don't give you the time of day. So a pro se gets no say in the courts, literally. We talk about immunity that judges have, lawyers have, prosecutors have under certain levels. We talk about disciplining lawyers. There's not much disciplining going on. We talk about the millionaire attorney. Very interesting. Even one billionaire attorney is referenced in here. The billable hour, why they shouldn't be paid what they get right now. We talk a little bit about medical malpractice and the frivolous number of cases that are out there. And we get back in the back of the book, we talk about too many lawyers, and what to do about it. And the last thing we talk about is kicking back, reforming the system. I recently wrote some articles about we need a national data bank for bad lawyers and judges. We don't have it, but we certainly have it for physicians. We need to drug test judges, I mentioned in an article. If you know, one out of five people in this country are on anti-anxiety drugs and or psychiatric drugs. That means a subset of lawyers and or judges, and judges in this case, probably have some proper problems with anxiety. And if they're making decisions that affect our lives, we need to know if they're being affected in any way by drugs. So they're drug testing everybody else. They're inflicting. Oh, why can't we inflict it back on them?
Because they're judges.
Exactly right. Because they put themselves in a level of immunity that they shouldn't be in. And
yeah.
We also need a way to get rid of judges a lot quicker than we do. We have a lot of bad judges out there. And the book delineates certain sexual liaisons judges have had right in the courtrooms, right in the court buildings, and they got away with it. They retired judges quietly who screw up. We had a judge crash, injured somebody, got off by another judge. I delineate it in the book very clearly that there's a problem. And in New York State, they get tens of thousands of complaints every year about lawyers. And what do? They trash most of them. They say they're frivolous complaints, and it's not true. It depends who filters what. Now, many of the law boards have a few consumer members on there. The consumer members do nothing. Here in Maryland, as an example, the law board, I think, has three consumer members, but the medical board has eight. And who did that? The lawyers inflicted that on the Marylanders here. So we don't really have an expert medical board, thanks to the lawyers. And our government is a lawyer. Obama, we know, is a lawyer. His second-in-command is a lawyer. His secretary of state is a lawyer. And Eric Holder, of course, is a lawyer. And they're all departments that are being run very badly. So whatever
wow.
you stand on the political spectrum, you can make a case against this administration for not being up to par. And a lot has to do with them being lawyers, because they see things in a filtered way, not as they actually are.
Yeah, abstract. Yeah.
You know, it's more of an abstract, and they're very obstinate about changing their ways. And they're still doing. Look what Obama did the other day. He goes down, and the book covers a little bit of it. He goes to talk to students. Remember the Pied Piper of Hamelin? Where the rats are let out of the Hamelin and they refuse to pay, so he leads the children astray until they pay. That's exactly what he did. He went and he got control of the student loans 2 years ago. Now he's saying he'll abate and relinquish people from their loans in exchange for votes. That's exactly why he went there. It's a big lie. And the lie continues every day of the week to something else. So I don't know how ingratiating the president is and lawyers in general, but they're doing the wrong things for us, and they need to be addressed. Now, if you look at Japan, 130 million population, they have approximately 30,000 lawyers. In America, with a population reported to be between 310 and 320 million, we have 1.1 million lawyers, and tens of thousands are being pumped out of law schools more each year. there is a major problem here. The law schools are not telling potential students that their jobs, there may not be any jobs for them, or they have to create work for themselves, which is what
Absolutely.
We see. In the medical field, we see frivolous cases. 60, 70, 80% of them are frivolous, depending on the state and the jurisdiction you're in. If you want to talk about John Edwards recently, he was a malpractice lawyer. That's the worst thing he did. I don't care about his moral improprieties. He hurt a lot of counties and jurisdictions in North Carolina because the malpractice insurance went up so high, specialists can stay and retain their areas of expertise within hospitals. So he did a lot of detriment to North Carolina in terms of the medical profession. That's where his real impact was, not this frivolous stuff that he's being pushed in the courtroom right now.
Okay, so is it mainly they getting back at him?
Well, I guess it's a retort for what, but I think that's what they do is what they do. Look at Roger Clemens. That's very concurrent. What is the Congress doing reviewing sports figures? What is, because the monopoly nature of the sports profession, they've been given certain tax advantages. Who cares? They have no business going after him that should be part of a league deal, not part of a congressional investigation. It's already cost $6 million of taxpayer money. It's insane. So Eric Holder's approach, he says, we have to make examples of people. Well, it's crazy. It's crazy that people know it, and they should leave Roger Clemens alone. And if the league wants to take action against him, they could. They could cut his pension, for example, or something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, versus going through this expense and media.
With the lackluster way a lot of baseball teams play, they need the steroids anyway, as far as I'm concerned. I've been in those parks. I could fall asleep in the stands. I have my $2 seat in the back in the bleachers and watching. So, you know, there's where we stand. Lawyers are infecting themselves too much in everyday situations. And as we go on, it'll unfurl that you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well, what do you think is wrong with our country? I mean, we've been for, you know, all over 200 years, we've been real prosperous. We've been leaders in every industry. What has happened this past decade or the last 12 years that really has put on the collision course to Hades?
Basically, the bottom line, it's too expensive to do business here. That's basically what it is. That's why Apple maintains all their products made out of China, Taiwan, South Korea. It's just, you cannot manufacture an iPhone for $300 and sell it for $200, but over there you can manufacture it for $25 and sell it for $200, $300, $400 here. That's the bottom line. Regulatory structures are too intense. It costs too much between union contracts and pay. And these people may deserve their money. It's not a question of that. They just can't do business and be profitable. So they go overseas. So their ideas are, well, let's tariff them to death. That's not going to work. I mean, it just won't work because Americans eventually are going to be affected anyway because they sell the products here. I mean, salespeople will be put out of business and distribution centers will be put out of business. You see what I'm saying? So it has repercussions. It's better to make it more friendly for businesses to do their work here in the States. We, here in Maryland, as an example, unemployment insurance is high, workman's comp insurance is high, EPA mandates are high, and it goes on and on. All of this stuff has been put into effect by lawyers. Workman's comp, for example, thousands of cases of people banging their knee or leg, they're applying for workman's comp. Unemployment is now using more as a social vehicle, like welfare, than anything else. And then the criteria here in Maryland, it's very easy to get it. Disability. You may be aware that since Obama came into office, 5.3 million people are receiving disability that didn't receive it before. There's a 900,000 case backlog for the military at the VA for disability. Well, lawyers have a lot to do with this because their whole practice is just doing nothing but disability insurance here in Maryland, just as an example.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Why, you know, the way we are today, why they're not handling the day-to-day and trying to pull us under control? Why are they kicking the can down the road? I mean, we can't kick it anymore.
Right, you can't. And you can't raise the debt ceiling anymore without some kind of reversal effect, like cutting the budget. As an example, civil servants are overpaid compared to their private counterparts. So civil service has to be adjusted. You can't fire them. There's 15 levels of appeal, but they need to pare down the government. It's very bloated. As far as I'm concerned, I would get rid of the EPA. You think they're getting rid of the EPA tomorrow? The president's pushing more rules, more regulatory structure on our heads. The Congress is inept. And the other thing is we have a Senate that's all, it's a majority, Democrats, and they won't move. Harry Reid won't do anything. Anything that comes up for revisionism, he won't stand for it. And we just got the House, but we overwhelmingly voted against Obamacare in the House after 2010 brought the Republicans to power. But at the time Obamacare was passed, it was passed 221 to 218, and they had to buy those votes because a lot of the Democrats did not vote for that. So that monster of a bill, they won't do anything to Congress. They're just inept. They're afraid.
Well,
also, there are people within the Congress that pressure other members of the Congress to run their line of thought, of their thinking, because they get promises for things for their people back home. So they work hand in hand. Once they get to Washington and go past the Beltway, their mentations change. And socialized people, psychologists who study this stuff, it's beyond me. And it's beyond most of the people to understand that. And certainly I can't. Even as a physician, I don't understand it.
Well, taking an account, you know, I know this particular administration came in, you know, not at the best time, almost at the worst of times. Mm. And you deal with the cards you dealt. I'm just surprised that between all this happening that I think the rules changed within the last couple of years with the Green Party. Do you think the Green Party is blocking or has, like, for example, you had this stream of red and blue going down this particular stream. Now you have a green stream coming in who's actually dividing things. You think that particular party is dividing things, that they can't get things done, and they are too afraid to compromise, or they put so many things in place. For example, I think the subsidies and all these other things that they can trade off for, they can't trade. So now those things have been taken away, so they can't compromise on that. There's no incentive. And then you have this green stream is coming into this, is dividing that. Do you think that's really the cause?
Well,
there is a delusional effect,
as you say. There is a delusional effect, and I think that's mm-hmm. part of the situation. They've undermined many situations in the economy where they've put in monies to companies like Solyndra, as an example, which was a company on the way to nowhere. It never had the technologies. It failed. They were about to pump another $500 million into that company, and many more that have failed. The Volt has failed. The Volta car that was pumped into GM. GM's artificial profits are coming from monies that they were paying back, actually. So there's a lot of manipulations, as you say, out there, and the party itself has diluted a kind of that effect. But, I mean, to expand on that, Obama has undermined this economy so bad because he's given away so much money, $5.3 trillion in new debt, people don't know where to start. It's such an overwhelming task to take on, to remanage the country, that which direction do you go? And I've written a lot of negative articles about what these people, not about the man himself, but about he's incompetent. He doesn't understand economics. He does not understand science. They killed NASA. Starting under Bush and extended under Obama, NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, is basically defunct. We have our astronauts being carried on Russian Soyuz crafts up to our space station. It's insane. Now the Russians are demanding that our people speak Russian. They're not going to be able to go on their Soyuz craft. It's crazy. Even the Chinese have more vehicles to get into space than we do now. Why did that happen? Why? Because we were so worried out to put the money in places that it didn't need to go. The inner cities of America are full of money. They're flooded with money. They're saying it's for the kids. How much does it cost to educate a child? $15,000? $20,000? Where does it stop? Every time they want to raise the budget here in Maryland and or in the feds, they always bring up the children. So how much is enough? And if the money's not being used efficiently, let's find efficiencies. But they don't want to do that. They want the gravy train should have stopped decades ago. It hasn't. It keeps going. Look at Medicare. Medicare was voted under Johnson in July 1965. It went into effect in 1966. It was a great plan. It helped people in the age group. It gave them basic health care, medications, hospitalizations. Over two, three, four decades, they kept adding riders and expanding it. And these are lawyers in the Congress. And then when you didn't get the expectation that the Medicare gave, they would sue the Congress or they would sue the doctor. It's gotten to such turmoil that these people, these meaning the congressional people and people around them, don't know where to start with it. Can you put a big knife into Medicare and cut it? Well, Obama just did. Obama took $500 billion from Medicare, and he pumped it into Obamacare. Where is that money going to go? And there's a whole hour just to do on how the elderly will be treated. We wrote an article called Geriatric Holocaust. Sarah Palin was right. She was right. There's no written people into the scheme to kill anybody. What they will do is they will stop care being given. They will revitalize the care. They will give it to people in the younger years. They'll say, well, for example, you're 75 and you have a cholesterol problem. You're only going to live another 4 years. Why should we spend $300 a month on cholesterol drugs? Let's give it to the woman who's had 6 children in New York City, as an example, to help her with prenatal care. That's how they're going to redistribute. They come up with phony studies. The prostate study was a classic. They say men over 55 didn't need to have the PSA test. They say because doing the surgery on a false test may be worse than the test itself. That's in a minority of cases. They say mammograms shouldn't be given to people until they're over 40. That's baloney. We see plenty of cancer on the third. That's nonsense. And then there's studies on hip, cataract surgeries now they're going after, and it goes on and on and on. And anybody wants to challenge me, please call in, and I'll be happy to talk about it.
So what do you think is the solution to this? Because it's time to pay the piper, regardless whatever whoever wins this particular election. They have a situation that nobody would want. I think a lot of people, Republicans even, didn't really want to run for president because they didn't want to deal with the issue. I mean, there are a lot of people who could have run, but if you really look at what you have to face in the next term, you're going to have to make some hard decisions, and nobody ever wants that on that watch. Who wants to walk in it?
We're being set up for another 2008 McCain-Obama type of deal. Romney, I'm not a great supporter of Romney, but he's a lot better than Obama, so we have a choice of bad and worse. And people, if they analyze Romney's background, especially with Romney Care and things around that and other issues of what Romney's done in his past, he doesn't perk to the best presidential candidate in the world, but he's certainly better than what we foresee having if Obama stays in office. So where do you go from that? Any viable candidate was beaten down because they didn't have that much money. Gingrich had his morality issues. Santorum, I thought, was a complete psycho. If you looked at his eyes and the way he acted on stage and stuff, it was a little crazy. And a lot of us, my colleagues, noticed this stance. And you could see from stances how people look with their eyes and turn around and stuff. There are bigger issues there. Now, Biden, as an example, we wrote an article about Biden, mind on the edge. He's showing early signs of dementia, as far as I'm concerned. And here's a man who's running on nursing homes and has experienced humbly with thousands of people. And I see it. No one's talking about it. It should be on major news media. He's second in line to the presidency. I don't know if you remember a movie called Being There with Peter Sellers, where a dumbfounded man almost makes it to the presidency of the United States. Well, we have one in there now. And he's called Joseph Biden, 6 terms as a senator and now as vice president. And he's just he's on the edge right now, his mind. And he should be gotten out of there real quick. That's why I think they're grooming Martin O'Malley for that position. I have a real feeling about this because he's head of the Democratic Governors Association. I think he's being groomed for it. But there's a lot of problems in Washington right now. And the debt is one part of it. The other thing is we have an incompetent president who has his finger close to the red button, the nuclear button. And I'm very worried about it. I'm more worried about that than Afghanistan and Iraq. Because at any moment, it could break out a war between Israel and Iran. And you don't want to go there. I mean, it's just horrible. I speak some Farsi. And the Iranians I know, they're scared.
Well,
they're worried. Because they know it could extend to a larger war in the Middle East.
Absolutely. So what is your solution? What we really need to do with your recommendation is to toss and start all over again. Take the plan that Obamacare has. Just what is your suggestion?
First thing is, a president, no matter who he is, he cannot get rid of Obamacare on his own. He could defund it, but he can't get rid of it. So we need a Congress, of people who are all in agreement to get rid of it. Unless the Supreme Court beats it down in June and July when they release their decision, their opinion, hopefully they'll go 5-4 to get rid of this monstrous bill. That would be the first way to go. And the argument is that they've already put a lot of infrastructure in for this. It's nonsense. Get rid of it. It's not where it should be. We need a tune-up on medical care for sure. But we could have treated those small minority of patients in a different way instead of changing the entire system. Many people will care for their insurance. A lot of people don't. There are other avenues to improve medical care, but using the Commerce Clause as a reason for Obamacare is nonsense, and they know that. So they're saying, is it a tax? Is it not a tax? Is it a levy? Not a levy? There's too many things, and I'm not the legally minded person to make the arguments, but the person that went before Obama, before the Supreme Court, was just about incompetent as the president. If you heard anything he said, I listened to it. It was unbelievable. When he was asked questions, he couldn't answer anything. He was not involved, maybe, in writing the bill. I don't know. But I will tell you this. Obamacare is written end-to-end by attorneys. I can prove it. What is the answer? What, if I was president, the first thing I'd do, I would defund Obamacare until the Congress got their act together. That would be the first thing. Second thing I'd do, I'd bring all the troops home. I'd bring them home 5 minutes after I got in there. I'd expand the Army, Navy. We need a bigger military because this is a world with a lot of tensions right now. So I wrote an article for the papers called Romney's Honey-Do List, just in case he gets in there. I embedded some of these things. Exactly what it needs. He needs. And I heard Obama say the other day that he has a to-do list there in his second term. I wonder if he saw my Honey-Do. But I not only wrote it for the paper, I posted it on a couple of websites and stuff, so news sites, so maybe they picked it up. But anyway, trade agreements, I'd redo all the trade agreements and give us the edge this time, not South Korea, who don't need it, not China, not Taiwan. Let us have a little bit of the edge. Change the tax policies to make it more conducive for businesses to stay here and hire people. I'd have people working in a second if they brought me in. That's why most people would not like Donald Trump, and I like Donald Trump because he's a realist, he's a businessman, he understands business. I mean, more than Romney will ever understand it. And some of his statements are right on. We need a larger military because there's too many areas of tension in this world. Too many people want to hurt us. I get rid of the TSA, let the states take care of it. They're a complete waste of money. But they'll say they're not. I say they're. People don't realize there are a huge bureaucracy, 80, 90,000 new people in the government with high-paying jobs sitting there reviewing what's up some woman's skirt as they go through a TSA scanner or watching. I get rid of them completely. They keep generating information that they've stopped this and that. I don't believe any of it. Maybe one or two come every year. I don't believe it. I'd secure the border for sure, and I will not hurt any of the people that are living here. There's no way to ship 14, 15, 20 million people back to Mexico. Impossible.
No.
I would
no.
put restrictions on them. It's nonsense. It would cost us tens of billions more than they're stealing from us in terms of jobs and whatever. And if people understand that the unemployment rate equals about what the illegals, so-called illegals, are working here, it probably equals out pretty much 14 million unemployed people, 14 million illegals here. So. That's just something food for thought. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But people brought that to my attention on another program. So I said, yeah, probably. It sounds reasonable. But they're very hardworking people. They're very religious conscious.
Absolutely.
And good people. But there must be a way to keep them here and ingratiate them into the system. But I would block that border. Now, the other problem is we have a major problem on the border. Murders, beheadings, all kinds. I send the military down there. I give the president of Mexico 2 weeks. You clean that border up. You stop the immigrants from coming. The Mexican government actually initiated the ability for people to get across the border. They're telling them where to cross. Are you aware of this? They are actually helping them. I'd send the military down. I'd go into Mexico, get rid of all the drug gangs, blow the hell out of them, and I'd take care of those people really well to stop those beheadings because now it's spilling over onto our border, and it's too much. Ranchers down, they have to defend themselves. And every time a rancher defends himself in New Mexico, Arizona, or Texas, they're brought into court by Eric Holder for defending themselves. It's nuts. Our people on the borders are not being backed by Obama. It's just crazy. So if you speak Spanish and you read the thing on La Raza, Obama went down to curry favor with the Hispanics in Texas. They don't like him that much, actually. as he thinks they do. I think it's more of his ego than anything else. But so there's a lot of things on the honey-do list that I put out. If people want to read Romney's honey-do list, I believe it's up on YouTube as well. It's a very interesting short video, and it'll give you an idea where the government should go in this person's mind and many of the people that I have the privilege to talk to every day, like yourself.
Wow.
I don't want to talk to you.
Great
here,
advice.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more. There's tons more.
Wow.
Last week, the FDA came out. They want to deprescriptionize drugs, another insane thing from Obama and his minions. Now, there are hundreds of heart drugs and high blood pressure drugs. You think a pharmacist could help somebody who's non-clinical pick out a cardiac drug for themselves? Some of the stuff coming out of the flow trial balloons is crazy, and this is backed by lawyers and more lawyers, and it is unbelievable. I hope some lawyers call in. Be interested to talk to them and hear what they have to say.
Wow. Well, I guess we can conclude with, to wrap up your book and what you want to leave the show with, what is your, how you want to leave things? I guess talk about your book in general and then give us maybe some last comments and thoughts.
Demons of Democracy is written as a monograph to inform people what kind of people are running your government in the state and the federal legislatures. And at the top, like here, Mr. Martin O'Malley, our governor, is a lawyer, and his minions below him are lawyers. It'll tell you that these people are not well-trained in the areas that they're practicing in the government. They're not well-trained in many areas that they're now practicing in the law. They're not worth the billable hour that they're getting, the $200, $300, $400 an hour. I have idea, even reading through volumes of material, how the billable hour came to that level. We must be circumspect that we have too many lawyers here, too many lawyers. They need to be pared down. We need to have a convention for the Congress to change the legal structure, how we approach things in the country. In other words, we need to pare down the number of lawyers, regulatory structure, and that needs to be done quickly because too many people have been caught up in nets, legal nets, where they're making them criminals where they shouldn't be. Demons of Democracy can be purchased at any store, any bookstore. You can order it. Most likely it's not on the shelf because it goes pretty quickly. It's an interesting book. If you have a Kindle, you could download it for a couple of bucks. And if you want to contact me, I could send you a copy, of course. It's PlatoMD@gmail.com. That's PlatoMD@gmail.com. If you have any comments, negative or positive, I'd be very happy to hear that. Amazon is very good about taking care of Demons of Democracy. They'll send it to you the next day if you'd like to read it. It has a very interesting cover with a man in a suit and horns with the American flag on fire because we feel these people, the legislators and the lawyers, are demonizing the country. And that's pretty much what I have to say about Demons of Democracy. It's a good read. It's an easy read. And we even have some legal jokes in there to lighten up the very negativity of the book.
Wow. And what would you like to leave the audience with?
I'd like to tell the audience specifically, I would do many of the legal things that people go to lawyers for. Many of these lawyers are not competent in doing what they claim to be. For driving, for speeding tickets, you could represent yourself. For many, many things, there are legal clinics now that one 10% on the dollar, basically what these people charge. Do not imbue yourself with the legal industry. Do not use them unless you really, really need to have a lawyer at your side. Of course, you'll be ripped for many dollars, and as soon as you stop sending the money, they stop returning the phone calls for sure. And people need to be circumspect when they're using the legal profession as well. And for Obama, I will hope people vote right in the fall because it's the right thing to do now because we need to move on from what we are. We are in a very, very bad situation. And Demons of Democracy elucidates many of those reasons.
Wow.
I appreciate you having me on. I really do. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And give me your website address again.
It's my email address is platomd@gmail.com to contact me for comments if they want a copy of the book, or they can get the book anywhere. It's sold everywhere.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show, Dr. Davis. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. I'll be happy to come back anytime you want me. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another production of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. You can download this episode on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio, or on blog.applecapitalgroup. We ask you that you either Google Plus or share these episodes with your friends and family, or colleagues, And also, you can write a comment about it within iTunes so we can kind of measure if these are the type of shows that you want to listen to. Again, everybody, have a great day, and thank you for listening with The Core Business Show. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.